The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf, brought to you by Ben Chovot Yerushalayim, is the first daf of Masechet Beitzah, and we begin Fine Tanner Hilik and Masechet. So, before we begin, let us just point out that the name of the Masechet isn't even very clear, because certainly in many of the Mefarshim and in many of the Shorshei HaHalacha, the word Beitzah is never referred to. It's referred to as Masechet Yom Tov, because really it's very rare for us to call a Masechta just because it starts with a word. Unless that word is a reference to the entire story of the Masechta. Masechta Megillah. The open with the Megillah, it's about Megillah. And most definitely, our Masechta is not about eggs. So that this is really Masechet Yom Tov, and what it's all about is the dinim, the overall dinim of Yom Tov, so that we basically have the story of the specific days, without talking about the dinim of the Malacha that's true on all Yom Tov, the Pesach, we talk about Pesach, and Chometz, and so on, and Sukkah, we talk about Sukkah, and Lulav, and Arav, and Yuma, we talk about the dinim of Yom HaKippurim and the Aveda, but we never really spoke about the overall dinim of Yom Tov. So this is the Masechta of Yom Tov, which is the generic dinim of Yom Tov. And what's most important about Yom Tov is what distinguishes it from Shabbat, and that is that even though Yom Tov is Asur B'Malacha, it's only Asur Melechet Avodah, not Asur Melacha in the same way. And indeed, the Torah specifically speaks out that anything asher yaseh lechol nefesh ulevado yaseh lechem, things that need to be done for your actual survival and your eating and your living as part of your nefesh, that can be done on Yom Tov, and that's not a problem. How far that then extends, you're right, as a machloket, does it mean things that need to be done on Yom Tov, but not things that could have been done before Yom Tov? So that, let's say, the things that I don't usually pick the wheat that I then go and winnow and so on Yom Tov to eat it that day. I do it months before. I mean, I got my flour ready. Is there saying that, you know, you do those things as well? Or is it saying the things that you need normally to do for Hanukkah? And then there's another question. That's a machlokas we're showing about the midirais, it's mutter. Everybody agrees the Rabbonim definitely has it. The Rambam says that, look, things that you could have done before without any damage would have tasted just as good, and it's the norm to do it before, you do before. That you don't have a right to do on Yom Tov. And then we have another question, and that's legabi the dinim of tzorech, not the direct tzorech ochel nefesh, but how about machshirei ochel nefesh? Let's say I want to barbecue a chicken. And I don't have a spit. Can I make myself take a twig, a large branch, and use it as a spit, and form it into a spit? That's also a machlokas, whether machshirei ochel nefesh, or also dochi yontif. These are things that we'll get into. But there's also, because of this distinction, there's also remarkably a distinction in the din of mukt. And that is that it turns out that because yontif is something that people are used to doing melacha on, the chachamim were more machmir on the dinim of muktzah for yontif because of the fact that people will tend to be mezalzel on yontif if they're not machmer on some element of muktzah. And that's, even though there's, if you think about it, when you're talking about isuri derabanan, on which the isur is based on you may come to be over on a diorite, there we're going to be more machmer on Shabbos. As the being over on a diorite on Shabbos is an isur skila, and being over on a diorite on yontif is an isur lava. So, of course, we're more machmer on things that are for the shmira, the mishmeret, not to come to be over the actual diaraisa on Shabbos than we are on Yom Tov. But on general takonas that are not to be over specifically on the Yizim, but it's to create the sense of yichudiyut and so on. So over there, and this is very often we find, the Rabbanan will be more machmer on a derabbanan than on a diaraisa because of the fact that they feel people are mezalzel. The same thing is true over here, that because people are shy to be mezalzel on Yom Tov, there may be greater chumras on Yom Tov when it comes to dinner among muktzah. And before we begin our Mishnah, we should recognize that even though we're used to thinking that there's muktzah on Shabbos. The truth is, we paskin there's no muktzah on Shabbos, because what we call muktzah is a grand extension of the minimum of muktzah. Remember that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah. So that's a good thing, because if we're not holding a muktzah, we have all that muktzah. Just imagine what would happen if we did paskin on muktzah. The only ikar dinim of muktzah that we have is where it's muktzah machas visar and kis, or it's muktzah machas mi'us. The other concepts that we have of muktzah are things that you would normally use for isser or something like that, and then you can move them if you need it, or if you need it for anything that's heter, you're allowed to use them. Most of the things that we say are muktzah, usually there's many ways that we can end up moving in different fashions and using in different fashions. On yontiv, on the other hand, there's the classic muktzah. The classic muktzah means something that I did not have in mind to actually use. So if I don't, that's the pshat. Not that it's specifically out of mind because it's very valuable, or it's out of mind because it's disgusting, but rather it's out of mind because it wasn't set aside for this purpose.
It doesn't have a use.
No. For not Shabbat. Because it doesn't have a use, but because it wasn't planned to be used. So that is a much bigger chumrah when it comes to muktzah. We're going to see more about that. But there's also another din. And that other din is the din called nolad. Now, nolad means something that just appeared today but wasn't around before. And that is why we're talking about the case of the Beitzah Shenolda. That is one of the reasons, perhaps, but it turns out it's very complex why we chose this case. The Gemara is going to have many different explanations. But the case of the Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov obviously is different than just plain muktzah, because when something didn't even exist in the world, and a person didn't know that it was going to appear, you could think that you'd be much more machmer on that than you would just on not having planned on you something. So even if Rabbi Shimon would be matir muktzah, he may agree that something didn't even exist. I mean, that's, wow, that's like completely off the charts. If it's off the charts, you have a mind to be using it. And therefore, there even he would agree that there's a concept called muktzah. Perhaps. It's one possibility. And then the most exciting thing of all, and this is truly exciting, is what is called Achana Derabah. Achana Derabah is a whole different issue of the difference between Nolad versus Mukhan. Because there's an amazing pasuk that teaches us by the man that people think that means, you know, you're not going to be allowed to cook it on Shabbos, so make your man ready before Shabbos. But that's not what it means, because it says beferish there that so that din is clearly something else, because it says do your cooking today, do your boiling today. Okay, so what is this other thing of hechino? In what sense hechino? So what it seems to be saying is that because of the chashivut of the nature of kedusha, this is very important for you to know for your child's bar mitzvah speech. Because of the nature of kedusha of Shabbos, it has to be in your mind to use. And you should articulate, I want this for Shabbos, before Shabbos. And if that hasn't been done, you're not allowed to use it for your meal, because that's the way the Torah wants the chashivas of the Kedusha of Shabbos. Where do we run into trouble? Where it wasn't prepared is a minor problem. Where it was prepared, but it was prepared on Yontif for Shabbos, let's say, or on Shabbos for Yontif. Since it says Vaya b'yom hashishi, that means it's got to be on a weekday. And you cannot prepare something on a Yontif for Shabbos, or other Shabbos for Yontif. So if this Beitzah that is actually laid on Yontif turns out to be Yontif that comes out after Shabbat, then we got a problem, because you cannot be making something on Shabbat for Yom Tov. So that introduces a whole new concept of only eating a Suda from something that had been prepared for that specific purpose. Therefore, it's not a problem with Chol, because Chol has no particular value. That's the meaning of Chol, is that it's empty, it's Chalal. And since it's empty, which of course is the word that the Arabs use for kosher, you know, it's like holy in English, means it's empty, or halal in Arabic. You know, it's the exact opposite nature of Kedusha. So the idea, therefore, is irrelevant to Chol. The fact that Shabbos prepared this egg for laying, so who cares? There was no preparation at all involved in Chol, because Chol isn't prepared for. But Yontif, which is prepared for, will have that problem. So now that just touches on some of the issues that might be raised here in this sugya. And let us, therefore, begin by taking the bull by the horns. And first, we will note that there are three not particularly related things that are going to be brought up in this Mishnah. The common denominator is that in all of them, Beit Shammai seems to be going Lekula and Beit Hillel seems to be going Lechumra, which is an unusual situation. So first of all, an egg that is laid on Yom Tov. Beit Shammai says you can eat it on Yom Tov. Te'achel. Beit Hillel Omrim, you may not eat it on Yom Tov. Now why, we don't know. possibly because of dinim of muktzah, possibly because of dinim of muchan from Shabbos, possibly because of some other yizera, all of which will be discussed in the Gemara. Furthermore, another similar machloket in which Beit Shammai is lechuna anachila, is lekulamin anachila, is Beit Shammai only. The shiur of se'or and chometz on Pesach, and it will turn out that this is not really nogia achila at all, that everybody's moda, that achila is always bekezayah. What we're discussing over here actually is the chiyev of biur, the question of ba yera'e, ba yematzeh. You can use this gemara if you need one. So that would be the question. And Beit Shammai holds, look, since the Torah mentions separately the lo yera'eh se'or and lo yera'eh chametz, must be that they're not the same shear. And therefore se'or, which is much more powerful because it's sourdough and it can make other things into chametz, the Torah is going to be more makbid on. So the shear of se'or to be over on ba'yera'eh and to be chayev in bi'ur would be just a kezayit. But the shear of chametz, for that you would need a kotevet, which is significantly more. That's what we would really call a date, which is a date that just beginning to dry, you know, one of those good, delicious, what do they call those dates from the... The majul dates, right? That's juicy, but it's starting to dry. That's a kotevet. And that is less than a kebetza, but it's much more than a kezayit. And Beit Hillel says, no, I'm machmer, and you would be over on ba'yira'eh, ba'yimatzer, b'chayiv and b'yor, zeh b'zeh, b'kezayit. Also, no gaz, the Ushami points out, the question of whether you would be over on the Isra of Lotishchat of the Pesach, while that shiur was still in your Rosh, there's another thing besides Bir Chametz and Ba'yira'eh that it would be Nogiyah D'Yoraita. Another question would be Hashochet Chaya Va'ov B'Yom Tov. The Gemara comes out to understand the Mishnah as meaning somebody who wants to be Shochet Chaya Va'ov, and he's coming now to ask the Halacha to Bezdin, can I be do a Shlita? And why not? Because over there you need to do Kisui Adam. Kisui Adam requires that you have dirt, and on Yom Tov, if you didn't prepare dirt before, how are you going to get the dirt? So the question is, I mean, digging itself would be a malacha, but even using something that wasn't mukhan, if you hold a muktzah, would be a problem. So what happens if a guy walks in and says, can I shech? So Beit Shammai says, look, if he has a deker that is in loose dirt, or so it's in loose topsoil, or it's in loose sand, or something that he doesn't have to crush, so then he should take it out with the dirt in it and use it to be mechaseh, and we tell him he can go right ahead and do his shechita. So yachpor b'deker, so he's got a something that's not a normal shovel. It's a deker is lushing to be to stick something in. So it's a yateid of some kind. What word do they use on it? No, it would be more like a spike. Yes, they spade. Okay, fine. And it's not a spade. It's a spade. That's not so clear, but okay. So it would also the master be butter, and therefore he could take it out. Beit Hillel says we tell him not to shecht. Elohim ken ayalo afar muchan mi ba'od yom. He has to have something that has been set aside to be used. But all agree that if he didn't ask whether he should shecht, he just went ahead and shecht it. That over there, A, this is the way the Gemara comes out. There's two parts to this mission. A, that if he doesn't have anything else, he should be chofer b'deker v'yichaseh. And B, everybody agrees that if he had from before Yom Tov used his oven in such a way that he now has ash at the bottom of his oven, that Eferf Kira, or a top, a Kira is actually a stove, is Muhan, because a person always has in mind not to dump the ash was very usable in those days, they used it to cover over dirt on floors and so on, and therefore he's allowed to take the Eferf Kira and go cover the dump. Now, the question is, getting back to this beitza, I'd like to understand what the source of this beitza is. I'm assuming the chicken came before the egg, and therefore we need to determine what kind of chicken it was. If this chicken itself was not set aside for laying eggs or for hatching eggs, it was just a chicken, which, well, nice, if you get hungry on Yom Tov, you go and you shech the chicken and you eat it. And I know that sounds rather harsh in those modern times, but nowadays we don't do things like that. We buy things that are artificial chickens wrapped in plastic and we buy them in the store. But it used to be that you took this poor little bird pecking around in your yard and you, my God, you killed it. Yeah, you shechted it and it bled and then, oh my gosh. Anyway, so if this was a regular chicken, so I don't get it. I mean, how could the egg be worse than the chicken? I mean, the chicken is food. It's already usable for Yom Tov. And if the egg was inside of the chicken, I would obviously, I would not only eat it, but it would be competition between the kids who gets the egg, right? So
it's a basis for a Paul Simonson.
You kill an egg. I mean, you're killing a chicken. You're killing, you know, something.
And even that's mutter. So if the egg is laid, So it's just uchlad ifrat. It's basically a piece of one piece of food that came off of another piece of food. So how could Beit Hillel say that it's osur? Might I made a Beit Hillel? It's just uchlad ifrat, a piece of food that's broken off.
It's always buchan.
If it was a chicken that was meant to be eaten, El, it's got to be that what? It's not a chicken that's meant to be eaten. It's a chicken that's in a farm that is an egg producing farm. In which case, don't you dare kill that chicken. We need it to get eggs. You want to kill the chicken that lays the golden eggs. So it's omitted like Adel Beit Sim. But then how would Beit Shammai say that it would be okay? Because then it's obviously mukta. It's been set aside for egg laying, not for eating. Wait a minute. Wait. What kind of weird question is that? We're making an assumption right off the bat. Major machlokas in Shabbos, whether there is such a concept as mukta, at least in something like this, where I didn't particularly have intention to use it. I mean, that's a big machlokas for being a Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not mukta. So, Dimon Beit Shammai, let my mukta. Who said that Beit Shammai holds a mukta? You're asking a big kasha. Oh, how could anybody say that it's mutter? What do you mean, how could anybody say it's mutter? You know perfectly well that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a mukta. So, Dimon Beit Shammai, let my mukta. No, no, you see, because at this point, we assume, Pasakadait, that even Rabbi Shimon, that Shori b'mukta, he's mater things that are mukta. That's because Rabbi Shimon holds that a person always takes into consideration possibility. The only time that it would be mukta is where, oh, I would never use that. Why would I never use that? Because it's worth a lot of money. Mukta makas vitzor and kis. I would never take my shechita knife to cut nuts with on Shabbos. That's out of mind. I put that away in a drawer. There I agree. Concept of mukta. It's disgusting. I would never put anything in that old lamp. It stinks. Fine. That's mukta. But to say, I didn't intend to use it. There's no such thing. A person has in mind potential uses all the time. He certainly doesn't put it out of mind. He's well aware of what might be needed on Shabbos or Yontif.
This is according to the
but, no, no. Rabbi Shimon. This is what we thought. But that's Rabbi Shimon's logic. But when it comes to something that didn't even exist, the egg isn't there. And I'm not therefore thinking about it in terms of potential. So maybe Rabbi Shimon would, that's what we thought. Everybody would agree if it isn't even there. So then it's certainly mukta. That's worse. No, so no. The concept of Beit Sah, which by definition has to come into being, so to speak, pop out into the world to be laid, maybe over there, that's the whole reason that the Mishnah is talking about a Beit Sah, to make it clear that we're beyond the mukta issues here. We've got something that everyone would agree to. That's what we thought. And that would be a very good explanation because, I mean, if we're not talking about that and we're worried about mukta, we don't have to go to the question of Beit Sah. We could talk about the Tarnagolet. Is the Tarnagolet that is not omitted lachila mukta or not? I mean, but if we start talking about Beit Sah, it's got to be because that's a super mukta, right? Okay, so then if that's the case, we felt justified in asking that since afilu man d'shoreh mukta v'nolad osar, what could possibly be the excuse for Beit Shammai coming along and saying that such a thing is mutter? That's why we asked, getting back to our question, my tamayot Beit Shammai, what indeed would be the logic? Omar Rav Nachman, I'll tell you how I understand the Mishnah. I understand the Mishnah that it's all very simple. The assumption that you made was wrong. And in fact, no letter mukta is exactly the same. And now everything is very clear, right? There's no question over here of why Beit Hillel would say it's usher, because it's indeed set aside to be a farm bird that is going to be laying eggs. And it's not meant to be eaten. And furthermore, the itle mukta, itle nolada, letle mukta, letle nolada. But if you don't hold of the concept of mukta, then you would not agree that there's a concept of nolad. In which case, it's very simple. Beit Shammai is going aliba to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not hold of mukta, neither does Beit Shammai. Therefore, he says, even the egg is okay, because nolad and mukta is all the same. And Beit Hillel holds a Rabbi Yehuda, which case even the bird would be us, and Koshkin the egg. But Reb Nachman, you got to be kidding. Reb Nachman was the one who came along to say that Beit Hillel holds a Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Nachman is the one who goes out of his way to change the girsa in the Mishnah and Shabbat to tell me that Beit Hillel would not hold a Rabbi Yehuda. Now, something is crazy. But it's not. Each Shabbat, we have a Mishnah that says exactly this, right? It says, Beit Shammai Omrin, Magdimi Al HaShulchan, Atzamotu Klipi. You're allowed to lift off of your table leftover nutshells and bones that are not Roy Lachila. So Tain is Rashi. Tosva says, no, they're Roy Lachila Beimah. It is not Roy Lachilat Adam. Okay, that's a detail that we don't have to get into right now. So Beit Shammai says, look, it's not a problem in picking up things that are mukta like that. Beit Hillel says, oh no, you're not allowed to lift up mukta. What you could do is you could pick up the tablecloth to the top of the table and shake it off. But you can't directly pick it off with your hands. Why is it not a basis l'davar ha'asur? This is a very rich mind for the din of a basis l'davar ha'asur, because many different pshatim are said as to why it's not a basis l'davar ha'asur. One of the most popularly known is the Magen Avraham, who says that from here you see that if a basis had not been made before Shabbos, and Ben Hashmashot, then it's not called the basis of Davar HaOser. It's Ben Hashmashot that's Koveya.
All this is sort of Ben
Hashmashot. Right. That's what defines it. And if it wasn't there before, you can't make a basis in the middle of Shabbos. Now, many don't agree with that, but it's a very popular heter. So other approaches are that since it wasn't there Ben Hashmashot, therefore it didn't become Oser Kol HaShabbos, it would only be a basis of Davar HaOser if it was put on to be left on. But if it wasn't put on to be left on, how would it define the entire day of Shabbos as a basis? Therefore, it's not a basis at all. So over here, you certainly didn't put it on to leave it on. So as it suggests, a beautiful shot. A basis means that you want it to hold. Do you care whether the nuts would fall on the floor and you sweep it off the floor? It has to be dafka on your table in front of your nose. So then, how is that called a basis b'chol? It's not something that you want even to lay down there. And therefore, it isn't called b'chol a basis. Okay, and there are other approaches as well, but as you can see, we could have a lot of fun about with this sugya. The other obvious answer is that when you have these things falling on the table, they're falling on the table together with a lot of good things, food and so on, so this becomes a basis. The davar asur v'amutar, it was never really a basis of davar asur.
Especially if they were there as nuts and you're eating
right. Perhaps. And then there's another question as to whether we're being matir here, picking it up, carrying it to the garbage pail and dumping it, or are we being matir picking it up on its side and throwing it on the floor? But not moving it. Yeah, but not carrying it over. We're just doing the minimum then. Okay. In any event, moving on, because none of this is really important to us here. What's important to us is the way Reb Nachman responds to this Mishnah, which seems to be saying what our Mishnah says. So Beit Hillel is being machmir about mukta, right? Okay, that's great. That's what we said. Beit Shammai does all the mukta. Beit Hillel does all the mukta. Well, for heaven's sakes, comes along Reb Nachman and says, no way. Omer Reb Nachman, lo, ono in lono le Beit Shammai ke Rabbi Yehuda, u Beit Hillel ke Rabbi Shimon. Now, this is crazy. This is the same Reb Nachman who just said, what's your guy's problem? There's no difference between Neilad and mukta. Beit Shammai holds Rabbi Shimon. He changes the girsa in the Mishnah in Shabbos because he says, I was Kabel from my Rabbonim, that it's the opposite, that Beit Shammai is dafka on his machmir, which is standard for Beit Shammai, and he goes Ali bin Rabbi Yehuda, and Beit Hillel is the one who's Meika, and he goes Ali bin Rabbi Shimon. How do you explain this contradiction, Reb Nachman? It's a very simple explanation, my dear friends. I mean, this is not my fiddish. If you take a look at the Sefer Shabbat, you will see that the author of the Mishnayot says Stam Mishnayot in Shabbat as if it's a davar pashut that Rabbi Shimon is right and there's no mukta. So for instance, Sotam Mantanak Rabbi Shimon, it's not. The Mishnah over there says you can cut up pumpkins in front of a behemoth. And we shouldn't say that aloud because Sion is coming today. You can cut up pumpkins in front of a behemoth for food, even though, says Tosas, even though you might think that that might soften it, be considered to be the actual tikkun of the oichlin, we're not chayshish that it's for that. Rashi says, even though you might think it's tircha yatera, for heaven's sakes, you know, this is not yalta, this is just an animal. It's an asita yalta. You know. But the part that's important is this. If an animal died and you want to cut it up for your dogs to eat, and that's definitely mukta. That's nailat. I mean, it's certainly at least mukta, right? For mishum nevela, and you're allowed to cut it up, and that's only like Rabbi Shimon. So since the Stam Mishnah, by the way, this is not the only example because it does points out on the base. It's a lousy example because lamaisa afterwards it's a Stam v'chakach machloket. So we're really relying on a number of Mishnayot that do this in Shabbos, that paskin stam like Rabbi Shimon. So because of that, I want, obviously, Beit Hillel, which is always La Halacha, to be consistent with the Stam Mishnah, which is La Halacha, and therefore, I say we have to make Beit Hillel be equal to Rabbi Shimon. Okay? So I say, Mukim lo Beit Hillel, Rabbi Shimon. How about But on Yom Tov, we find that the Tana of the Mishnah Stam goes like Rabbi Yehuda. And where is that? It's not. You cannot, if you have a freezing day on Yom Tov, decide that you're going to use the korot that you paid a lot of money for in order to do your new roof, and it's sitting there outside in a pile of expensive korot. You say, I am so cold, I'm just going to burn it. You can't do that. Now, this is not nogea, the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, because as Tosfos points out, this would be muktzeh machlokas chisaron kis anyway. So this part isn't the raya. The part is the next piece that's a raya, that you cannot use a roof beam simur, which had broke on Yom Tov, and that indeed, it's shifrei kelim, so that's muktzeh. You cannot use a korosh nishbra b'Yom Tov. Why not? That is because we hold min hastam, apparently, of Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, I say, when it comes to Masechet Beitzah, we should be mukim lo Beit Hillel k'Rabbi Yehuda. Let us make the din, which is Beit Hillel, consistent with the din, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, wait a minute, Rabbi Nachman. I mean, it's all very nice to talk about this as if there's some miraculous computer in the sky telling us whether we're supposed to go like Beit Hillel, Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, but this is the same person. This is Rabbi. This is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who's being determining which Mishnayot to say B'loshim Stam, right? Which Mishnayot to make us aware of a machloket. Well, why in the world would he have changed his mind? What's the difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov? Michtek. Man sat bin lamatnit. I mean, who was the person who did this? It was Rebbe. So, my shnabe Shabbat is satanlan k'Rebbe Shimon. My shnabe Yom Tov is satanlan k'Rebbe Yehuda. Why would he do such a thing? Because, Amrit. Shabbat the chamira velati lezil zuleiba. Look, Shabbos is very chomer. There's no heter of okol nefesh on Shabbos. And someone chas v'sholom does melacha on Shabbos, his chayev skila, as that poor rock scaler discovered this past Shabbos. So that's sakul right there on the spot. This is Shabbos. So Shabbos, therefore, people will not come to be mizalzalin. So over there, they did not feel that they had to be machmer on the dinim of Mishnah and muktzah, and because of that, Rebbe said he would be satan gilkula Rebbe Shimon, who's maker. Mashen Tov Yom Tov itself is very kal. I mean, people are used to, you can do this, you can do that, you know, it's not Shabbos, it's Yom Tov, you know. Maybe you can already drive to work on Yom Tov, you know. So because of that, since Atil Zazulebe, Santa Monica Rebbe Yehuda de Machre, because of that, Rebbe held that this halacha should be aliba de Rebbe Yehuda. Now, even though, as we pointed out before, there's many examples of the opposite, where we're more machmer on Shabbos than we are on Yom Tov, but that is more machmer in gezeiros that are to prevent you from being nichshal in an iser directly. Obviously, I'm going to be more machmer to make sure that you won't come to Chilul Shabbos in something that's a gezeira because it looks like a malacha. This is an entirely different issue. This is to create the ambience of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So over there, I'm more machmer in creating the ambience of Kedusha for Yom Tov. Fine. Okay, wait. I just want to understand something. The whole reason, for heaven's sakes, that in the beginning we took for granted that Noilat is more chomer than the actual mukta is because of the fact that we're talking about eggs. And why in God's sake are we talking about eggs if we could just talk about the chicken that comes first? Well, what would be the point of needing to get it? Well, what kind of chicken did the egg come from? Who cares about the egg? Talk about the chicken then. So I don't understand you at all. So b'mayu kimta, b'tarnegolet ha'omeret l'gadel beitzim. And the question is, do I hold of mukta? So what do eggs have to do with anything? So yachi ala mifluge b'beitza, lifluge b'tarnegolet. Can you imagine calling the besekta tarnegolet? That's why they have to call it Beitzah. No, that's not the answer the Gemara offers. Because as we said, the Gemara doesn't think the name of the Masechet is Beitzah. It thinks the name of the Masechet is Yom Tov, which is the way it's usually referred to. So why aren't we Miflag B'Tarnagolet? By the way, there's this absurd yeshiva mythology that we change the name Beitzah to Be'ah because we don't want to talk about testicles, which is nonsense because Be'ah, of course, is exactly the same double meaning in Aramaic as it is in Hebrew and used exactly the same way, and that wouldn't make much sense at all. The reason that they were Mishana is a lot of Mepharshim explain why people are noyek to say Be'ah, because we're going to see a very interesting Gemara later where people got confused in a Psak Halacha between Mei Beitzim and Mei Bitzim or Mei Bitzaim, and that caused a disaster.
From the it's like a swamp?
Yeah. And it was a place where they had swamp water, and they thought Mei Beitzim is not Mafshir, they thought it meant Mei Bitzaim, because they misunderstood it. So in order to be Koveya, that aspect, they changed it. That's one of the interesting possibilities. There's a lot of A lot of curious explanations of why that came about in the yeshiva world anyway. So all of this is for no reason. That, says the Gemara, is lo'odiyacha kochanda beit shamayim. Well, don't you want to know? I mean, look, you see that we thought that Nolad was more common. So we want to talk about a beitza. Daf get to tell me that, no, it's not more common. Ha ha! And that gives me this halacha l'kula alibet beit shamayim. Wait, I mean, and don't you want to tell me according to Beit Hillel, even Muktzeh is Asur? I mean, after all, we should take the trouble of letting me know the halacha l'maisa, since we passed him like Beit Hillel, no? And I know what you're going to tell me. I mean, they give me the standard answer. Standard answer is, Kayakta Teira Adif. I mean, anybody can say something is Asur. Look at the idiots running around there saying things are Asur today. Doesn't take any knowledge at all to say something is Asur. You know, but you need to know something to say that it's mutter. So Kayakta Teira is always mutter, is always Adif for us. That's true. And I'm not suggesting that you not tell me the Kayakta Teira of the tremendous finish of Beit Shammai, that even Neilad is not a problem. But I mean, after all, it would be good if you could just say both of them so I would know the halacha in this case, no? And it's easy to say. All is one thing. It's all one piece. So you're going to tell me Kayakta Teira Adif. All I'm saying is Niflu Betarvayu. The way to say the Mishnah is simply Tarnagolato Medita Gadel Beitzim, He U Beitzata. So what's the dinner of the chicken and the egg? Beit Shammai Omrim Teachel Beit. Now we know both, which would be great. We know the correct Beter of Beit Shammai, and that Noyelad is Venus, but we know the Halacha like Beit Hillel. So therefore, after all of this, the Gemara says, forget about Reb Nachman. I don't like the Pshat because it does not explain the very thing that made us raise the issue in the first place, the Maitamayo Beit Shammai, to say Beitza. It's not adequately explained. I am going to explain it, says Rabbah, in a way that is undeniable and perfect. I say, on the contrary, we are indeed talking about a Tanagolot Omedet La'achila. Okay? And a Tanagolot Omedet La'achila, your question is, so what could possibly go wrong if the bird is mutter? If I can eat mommy, why can't I eat the egg? That's the question. Were it a typical yuntiv, you'd be absolutely right. But what if it were a yuntiv that Richie's head bumped directly into his iPad screen and crashed? What would it be in that kind of yuntiv? It would be a disaster. So if it was a yuntiv shechal liyot achar haShabbat haskina, if it was a yuntiv that came out on a Sunday, here is the new issue. The new issue called Hachana de Rabba. Since it's Rabba's chiddush. Rabba holds that any beitza that was mityalda idna, if a beitza is laid today, that means that the final stages of laying down the shell on the beitza took place the day before, and then within 24 hours, we have the laying of that beitza. And you'll notice that it's almost impossible to check the bird and find a fully formed egg in it. You find an egg without a shell, usually, if you find an egg at all. So that once you lay down that final shell, that's the last piece of the action, plop, it comes out soon afterward. But that means that this egg, nature completed this egg on Shabbat. So now we're going to be makan. Bad enough, we're worried about goyim working. Now we're worried about nature working. What's that supposed to mean? Because of a tremendous chidush that is very important for El Roi to hear, and it goes like this: Rabba the Ta'ami, the Omar Rabba, my dechtiv aya b'yom hashishi vehechinu et asher yaviu. This hechinu et asher yaviu cannot mean prepare your food by cooking it, prepare your food by grinding it, because it says that beferish in the pasuk. Et asher tofu eifu, et asher bashelu bashlu bashelu, cook, do whatever you need to do from erev Shabbat. Okay, so then what is it saying? It's saying that even things that will happen on their own need in your mind to be mukhan. But when can you do that? On Yom HaShishi. But not on a Yontif. And not on a Shabbos, right? So, if this Erev Yontif was a Shabbat, we run into a problem. Because what this teaches us, as Rabbi, is Vayab Yom HaShishi Ve'echinu, is that Chol Mechin LeShabbat, Ve'chol Mechin LeYom Tov, but Yom Tov cannot be Mechin LeShabbat, and Shabbat cannot be Mechin LeYom Tov, and even though obviously Shabbat and Yontif can't be Mechin LeChol, there's no such thing as being Mechin LeChol, because Chol is just Chol, and has no Hakana associated with it. So it's not a problem to eat an egg that is laid on a normal Sunday. So, well, how can I eat it? Shabbos prepared it. Prepared? Nobody prepared anything. This is just mikra. Nothing is prepared. But for Shabbat or for Yontif, something has to be prepared. In which case, it means that it was inappropriately prepared because it wasn't a whole day. It was a Shabbos day that prepared by Yontif meal. And that is excluded from Vechinut Asher Yaviu. Brilliant!
It's like a natural
process. Implications are astounding.
The natural process.
Even a natural process.
Will be acceptable.
No! No! It needs to be thought of. With kavana. And that can only be done on Yom HaShishi. Okay, so now I can't use it. Says Abaye, wait a minute. The Mishnah says, a Beitza Shenolda be Yomtev. And you're telling me, yes, if that Yomtev was a Sunday. I mean, it just says Beitza Shenolda be Yomtev. I mean, what about if it wasn't a Sunday? So according to this, Elamiata, Yomtev be Alma Tishtere. So a standard Beitza Shenolda be Yomtev, which would be, after all, most of the time, should be mutter. No, says Rabbi, it won't be. Gzeira mishum yom tov achara Shabbat. How would anybody even know about the brilliant din of Achana de Rabba if they wouldn't come into trouble every once in a while? So therefore, we have this beautiful halacha, the gzeira of a beitza shenolda be yom tov on any yom tov, which will make people aware for the first time of how amazing Shabbos and yom tov is, that it needs achana as opposed to chol. And that even nature is an act of hachana and requires awareness. And furthermore, cannot be done on Shabbos for Yontif or Yontif for Shabbos. And furthermore, there's three issues that Rav is bringing up. And furthermore, that in fact, when you eat an egg that was laid on Yontif, its coating was laid down on Erev Yontif. Now, what a level of awareness that is. Well worth a simple gezerah of Beit Shenol to be Yontif, I would say. As the Gemara, but we know that the same din would be true about Shabbos as well. And therefore, why not say that a normal Shabbos, we should be mater achila of a beitza? So Shabbat, a normal Shabbat alma should be muter? That's because also gzeira mishum Shabbat achar yom tov. Since if Shabbos comes out after Yom Tov, it would be Shabbos that Yom Tov was making for, which is not a kosher hachana. So memela, we answer it on a normal Shabbos. Wait a minute. But says Abai Omigas Rina, I thought we don't make those kind of gezeiras because we have exactly the same situation. If somebody shechs a tarnagolet, okay, and it's yontif, and in the tarnagolet he finds beitzim gimurot, he's allowed to eat them on yontif. Now, why don't we make the same gezeira? Ligzar mishum hanak demidyalden biyomein. These same eggs, had they been laid down today, would have been awesome. Aren't we worried that if somebody's allowed to eat the eggs in the tarnagolet, that he's going to end up with the same mistake of thinking that there's no din of achana? Says Rabbi, that's not a problem. Beitzim gmurot b'me'i iman is a milta de lo shchicha. But how often do you find something like that? And a milta de lo shchicha, lo gozer be rabbanon. But, asks Tosfos, who cares? So it's a milta de lo shchicha. But what if you hadn't shechted the mother? Maybe this egg would have been laid today. And if this egg would have been laid today, then it's got the problem of achana from before. So it's just as problematic. Says Tosfos, that's ridiculous. If it hadn't been born, it's not laid. It's not considered to be finished at all. We should call this hachon, although he brings it in Yerushalmi. This is actually a machlok. What the din would be in that case?
A delayed egg.
Barnea, you've been outclassed.
No, that's funny.
Beautiful. It's great. You didn't know he had it in it.
Everybody's got it in it.
There's all.
Barnea usually.
Wow. Please, everybody. Very nice.
Beit Zash and all the Yom Tov, Beit Shammai Omrim Teachel, Beit Hillel Omrim Lo Teachel, Beit Shammai Omrim Sor, Beit Kizayet V'chametz, Beit Kotevet, Beit Hillel Omrim Zeh, V'zeh Beit Kizayet, Hashochet Chayavov, Yom Tov, Beit Shammai Omrim Yachpor, Bedekir V'yachaseh, Beit Hillel Omrim Lo Yishchot, Elim Kena Yalov Afar Mukhan Mi Ba'od Yom, Umodim, She'im Shachat, She'yachpor Bedekir V'yachaseh, She'efer Kira, this is a different piece, ומודים שאיפה קירה מוכנו. ובמה יסכינה? אילה מבטן הגלות העומדת לאכילה, מה הייתה מהר לבית הלל? It's just plain וכלות יפרטו. If it's a תנגולת העומדת לגדל ביצים, so then מה הייתה מהר לבית שמיים? It's obviously מוקצה. So, big deal. My kushya. דומה בית שמי let לו מת. And now the whole point of our question is, because we're assuming that's why it says ביצה. So, כסלקה דייפן, that afilu man deshari b'muktza is made ben nolad, and of course the best example of nolad is a beitza shenolda. And it would be awesome. I mean, generally people don't eat babies, you know, but we could talk about a beitza. So my time I had a beit shamar. What? Reb Nachman said such a thing? But none in Shabbos. Beit Shammai Amrim Magbiim Na'ala Shulchan Atzamot Uklipin. Ubeit Hillel Amrim Misalek At HaTabla Kulam Na'arab. It is not allowed to actually directly move the shells. And Reb Nachman says, no, that's wrong. Actually, it's the other way around. Ono in lano ela Beit Shammai k'Rev Yehuda, exact opposite of what he said here. Ubeit Hillel k'Rev Yishimah. Amal Harim Nachman, well, that's true, but God, the Shabbat, the Sotam, Lantanak, Rabbi Shimon, the Tzemechat, Kinet, Adiluim, Lifnei Abeima, Vetanivela, Lifnei Aklavim, even though it died today. So then it's only right to synchronize the Halach of Beit Hillel like Rabbi Shimon in the Stam Mishnah. Ava, Gabe Yom Tov, the Sotam, Lantanak, Rabbi Yehuda, Mitzvahim of Akinetim and Akorot, Velom in Akorash and Nishbara the Yom Tov, it's only right to synchronize the Beit Hillel Psak with Rabbi Yehuda. Well, wait a minute. I mean, Michte, Man Sapin about this, and it's all one person, it's all Rabbi. Why in the world did he do such a thing? Mashna b'Shabbat, the Satanam k'Rabbi Shimon, who Mashna b'Yom Tov, the Satanam k'Rabbi Yehuda, Amri. Shabbat echamira v'loate lezilzulei ba sotam like Rabbi Shimon to make him Yom Tov the keel v'loate lezilzulei ba sotam like Rabbi Shimon achmir. Okay, so getting back to this, now I still don't understand what's going on. But my yukim to betanikol atomin et agad al beitzim u'shum muktza. So then our first tanacha you haven't addressed. Yochanan maflagi b'beitza. For heaven's sakes, liflagi b'tanikol at. Well, that's lo biyach hakocha de Beit Shammai. That even the Beitza, I mean, I agree, a Beitza obviously means nolda. So even nolda is short. Okay, so then lifla b'tana gola, lo biyach hakocha de Beit Hillel, that b'mukta asu. And even if you try to tell me, I know what you're going to say, that kocha de Teira is odif, but at least nifla b'tarvayu, all you need to say is, tana gola to omeret l'kadeo b'tzim hi u b'tzata, Beit Shammai omrim teachel, Beit Hillel omrim lo teachel. So this doesn't really cover things well enough. Fellow Omar Rabba, I say Leolam Batanagol Domedit Lachila. And it's a normal Yom Tov, you might be right, but we're talking about Yom Tov Shchaliyot Achar Shabbat Askina. And the problem over here is a three-pronged Chiddush of Rabba, that the problem is Hachona. Because Rabba holds Kol Beit Sata Bityalda Inda was actually Gmiatmo Gemirala, and Rabba further holds the Shitato. That only Yom HaShishi, that is to say Chol, can be making the Shabbat. And assuming that you need Hachana for Yom Tov as well, that Chol only is making the Yom Tov. But Yom Tov can't be making the Shabbat, and Shabbat can't be making the Yom Tov. Amar Labaya said, then, how about a normal Yom Tov? So me'ata Yom Tov b'yama Tishrei. I mean, what are we making a Mishnah that's talking about one case and claiming it's a Beitza Shenol de Yom Tov? No, it's every Yom Tov. Gzera Mishum Yom Tov Acher Shabbat. Well, and how about a Shabbat b'yama Tishrei? And what about being matir on a normal Shabbos that doesn't come out after Yom Tov? I mean, Gzera Mishum Shabbat Acher Yom Tov. But do we make these kind of gezeres? V'tanya shochet et ha-tanegolim ha-motza b'bitzim gemurot mutarot lochlam b'yom tov. If you're right that we make gezeres, why don't we make a gezera that you can't eat a complete beitzah mishum hanachdem b'dialdem b'yom ha-yom? Amali, because it's rare. B'tzim gemurot b'mei man mirta lo shchichai u'mirta lo shchicha lo gazru b'rabanan. Beitzah daf beit. Zok the Heilige Mishnah, find the Heilige Mesechta. There's no cyber judge next to me. I got to do all this on my own here. Beit Zash no da b'yom tov, Beit Shammai omrim teachel, Beit Hillel omrim lo teachel. So here is an egg that was hatched on Yom Tov. According to Beit Shammai, it can be eaten today. According to Beit Hillel, it cannot be eaten today. Later on, we'll see what the din is in terms of tiltul. Forget about just eating. And actually, it's going to turn out that even for Tiltul, it would be Osir, according to Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim Seor b'kizayet v'chametz b'kakotevet, u'beit Hillel omrim zevezeh b'kizayet. This, of course, doesn't necessarily have anything to do specifically with each other, but because we have over here three things in the Dinim of Yontov, where Beis Hillel is v'chumra, Beit Shammai is v'kula, the Mishnah mentions them together. So the first machlokas where Beit Hillel is v'chumra is, he says, you're not allowed to eat an egg that was born. Sorry, that was laid on Yontif. The second thing is that according to Beit Shammai, the shiur of Achila, of the Isser Seor, is one kizayit. The Seor is sourdough that's able to make other dough chametz. And regular chametz dough itself, which is just plain chametz, requires you to eat a full shiur of the kikotevet, which is a date, which is much larger, in order to become chayav. Whereas Beit Hillel says, you're chayev even on chametz b'kizayetz. That was a b'kizayetz. Here too, Beit Hillel is l'chumra. The third machlokas in which Beit Hillel is l'chumra is ashochet chayev v'ov b'yom tov. Beit Shammai omrim yachpor b'dekir v'yichaseh. Somebody who shechs a chaya and an oath where there's a din as opposed to the shechita of a behema, the shechita of a chaya and oath is mechayev yom kisui hadam. So over there, Beit Shammai says you should use a little shovel. We'll see later on. He's not saying this under all circumstances, because it's also to actually dig on Yonta. But under certain circumstances, you should go ahead and cover up the dam. That no, you actually shouldn't shecht unless you had the dirt to cover the blood prepared to be yotze the chiyav of kisui adam, prepared from before yontov. Whereas both of them are modim, that if you went ahead and shechted, that there shiach por b'deker v'yichaseh. So Beit Hillel was saying that you shouldn't shecht l'chatchila if you're going to have to get the dirt on yontov proper. V'she'efer kiram muchanu. Now, of course, this doesn't seem to make any sense. It seems to be giving a reason. The Gemara is going to point this out and try to understand the Mishnah. But what it seems to be saying is that the reason that this is so is because the ashes of a oven, actually a kira is a stovetop, which they would use, of course, the same wood underneath an open area where you put the pot, that's considered to be muchan, not mukta for yontif. Mukta means set aside, not for use. Muchan means that it's prepared, yes, to use. Over there, everybody is moda that it's okay to use that, which, of course, was not the topic we've been discussing. Okay, so three machlokas in what the din is of Beitza Shenol to be Yomtov, what the shear is of Chometz on Pesach to be Mechayev you, and Legabi Kisui Adam, whether Lechatchila you can check, do Kisui Adam on Yomtov. Getting now to the first case of the egg, B'mayaskina. So first we'd like to understand what the problem is. What case are we talking about? If the Tarnagolet, the chicken that had laid the egg, was Omedet Lachila, and you were going to eat the chicken itself today. So then, my time I had the Beit Hillel. Why would Beit Hillel possibly say that an egg from such a chicken would be awesome? I mean, you can actually shech the chicken and eat the egg that's inside anyway from before. So who cares? It's just uchla di ifra. To all it is a piece of food that became separated from another piece of food, essentially. So now it's made itself into a different kind of thing, but it certainly is not something that wasn't muchan. You can't call it muktzin anyway. Are we talking about now a chicken that is not meant to be eaten, but rather you're using it for as an incubator, basically, or for laying eggs? So then, my time, I had the Beit Shammai. Why would Beit Shammai possibly be saying that it's okay to eat such an egg on Yom Tov? Muktzin. Is the egg not muktzin, because it was part of something that was set aside not to be eaten? Then what kind of question is that? My kushya. Dimle Beit Shammai let le muktzin. Understand, we know that there's a machlokas Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, we've had many times before in Masechet Shabbat, as to whether there is such a thing as an Isser Muktzah. So maybe Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, and he holds there's no such thing as an Isser Muktzah. No, because Kasal Kadaitech Hafilu Man Deshori B'Muktzah B'Noilat Asar. The reason we ask the Kasha is because we believed at this point that even those who hold that Muktzah is not a problem, but Nolad, something that didn't exist before, is certainly us, according to everybody. Because look, Bishlam is something that is here in the world, and I'm looking at it, to say that because I don't plan on using it, so therefore it's considered to be mukta, that is to say, set aside for non-use, that, Rabbi Shimon says, is not so. But something that bichlal wasn't here in the world, so over there I would say that, of course, it's not in the world at all. It wasn't meant to be used. So there, Beit Shammai should agree that noilad, which is an extreme case of mukta, is certainly us. So what would be the explanation according to Beit Shammai? Therefore, my tamayu the Beit Shammai. Omrev nachon leolam betarnagolat omedet bekadel bitzim. Actually, we are talking about a tarnagolat that's not meant to be eaten. And Beit Shammai svar is simply that the itle mukta itle nola, the letle mukta letle nola. It isn't true. The artificial distinction between mukta and nola is simply not the case. If you don't hold of mukta, then the fact that something wasn't here, was inside the chicken, was going to be laid on yontev. That's if I don't know the mukta, then I don't know that there's a problem in nola either. And Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, whose general svara is that we don't hold the mukta. And Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, as general as far as we do all the mukta. And this is a simple machlokas as to whether nolad, which after all has the same din of mukta, is asur on yantiv or not. So this would come out, according to this, where Nachman's Teretz is saying that Beis Hillel holds of Rabbi Yehuda, do all the mukta, and Beit Shammai holds of Rabbi Shimon, doesn't hold the mukta. Asks the Gemara, is that possible? Me, Amr of Nachman, Ochi did indeed Rabbi Nachman say that Beit Hillel is the one who holds of mukta, in which case Rabbi Nachman should be saying that there is a din of mukta. Vatan Beit Shammai amrin magbi mi ala shulchan atzamot uklipino Beit Hillel umri meselik at tabla kulo manahara. Here a machlokas agave Shabbos is whether if you have things that you're not able to eat, so you have now, let's say, bones or leftover shells of peanuts that you were eating, and they're on the table. So here the Tanakhama says that there's a machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as follows. So that the Beit Hillel svara is you can only move the actual tablecloth and shake it off, but you can't actually pick up the mukta itself. Ah, Yotaina, if you can't move the mukta, isn't the tablecloth the basis, the davar ha'asur, as Tosfos says? And that's not a problem, because here it could be talking about that something. I mean, Tosfos has a few possibilities over here. He says that according to Rabbeinu Tam, svara in general is only something only becomes a bosis, a davar asur, if the intent is to leave it there all day, which is certainly not the case over here. Or it could be that since initially when you put it down, it was food, it wasn't a davar asur. So it was therefore mixed davar asur and davar amutur at that point, where there was a shell, but there was also a peanut. So at that point, it doesn't become a bosis, a davar asur, if afterwards now it becomes something that's a leftover only as isur. So in any event, Beit Hillel says, forget about it, there's no problem with buses, but you can't actually pick up the atzamot and the klipin. Whereas, now this would be consistent with what we just said. Namely, that Beit Hillel says it's Osir, and he also of Rabbi Yehuda, which is all very nice. The problem being that Reb Nachman himself, who is the one who made the machlokas here in Mesechet Beitza, be a machlokas as to whether you hold a mukta or not, who held it according to Beit Hillel, the din is like Rabbi Yehuda, and there is an Isser Mukta, comes along Rabbi Nachman there in Shabbat and says, V'yom Rabbi Nachman, Anu Ein Lanu, the way I was Makabal the Machlok, is not the way you just said it, but rather the exact opposite, that Beit Shammai like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beit Hillel is Rabbi Shimon. So how could Rabbi Nachman, who says that Beit Hillel doesn't hold of Mukta, come to be Mefarish over here, the Mishnah in Beitza, to say that Dafka Beit Hillel's Svara is that the Beitza, which is Nolda, Biyom Tov, is considered to be also because of Neilad being a Chelik of Mukta? Answers the Gemara, Rav Nachman will tell you there's no comparison of the Dinim of Shabbat to the Dinim of Yom Tov. Kabei Shabbat is Satam Lantana Karabi Shimon. Where it comes to the Dinim of Shabbat? We're over there, the Tana and the Mishnah said a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon, that namely there is no Isur Mukta. That you're allowed to cut up a pumpkin in front of a behema. It's not quite clear what we're talking about. Obviously, if the pumpkin was connected to the ground, so even Rabbi Shimon would be made, because we have always a gezeir that you can't use things that were once connected to the ground. Even at the beginning of Shabbos, we're afraid maybe you'll actually go and take more. But here it's talking about whether the lot was indeed cut. And over here, okay, we considered it to be Muktzeh because it wasn't yet Roy L'Achilat so hard. It has to be cut in order to, in thin slices in order for the behemoth to eat it. But certainly the Nevela, that where the animal died on Shabbos, and it says that according to the Mishnah over here, Stam doesn't mention any Shita, that it's mutter to feed that behemoth to the Klavim. So you can cut it up. So since the Tana says that, it's clear that the Tana, since it doesn't attribute that to anybody, he holds that that's the normative halacha. In which case, Reb Nachman, Mukim Lala Beit Hillel K'Rabbi Shimon, there it's perfectly consistent to say that the halacha is, in terms of Shabbat, there's no Isser Muktzeh. So Beit Hillel holds the Rabbi Shimon. But Avagabe Yom Tov, the Sotam Lam Tamek Rabbi Yehuda, where there, on the contrary, the Stam Mishnah goes to leave the Rabbi Yehuda, the Dinim of Yom Tov, that there is an Isser Muktzeh. That you're not allowed to cut up wood from korot that you had set up that were going to be used for building. Furthermore, now that is not a proof that there's no muktzeh, because over there, since it was set aside to build, that would be muktzeh machmat kisaron kis, and over there even Rabbi Shimon would be moda. So that's not the raya, but the raya is from the next piece. That the same thing would be true. Korah nishbarah b'yom tov. If you had a korah and it broke on yom tov itself, and you were in a case where it was clear that it was already the roof was weakening and it was going to break, so it was not considered to be muktzeh other than if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, of Rabbi Yehuda, and that it says over here. That you cannot use that korah that broke up into little pieces that splintered, now you want to burn it, you can't use it. So that means that he holds stam. The Mishnah is saying that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore comes along Rabbi Nachman and Mukim Lala Beit Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda. So here in Beitza, says Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda as far as like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is a din of muktzeh, and Mamela, the Beitza Shinoda, Biyom Tov, is Asur. And that explains that it's not a stira at all to say that Reb Nachman holds that Beit Hillel, which is again the normative psak, would say in terms of Shabbat that the dinim is like Rabbi Shimon, there's no dinim of muktzeh, and that it's Beit Shammai who says you have to pick up the tablecloth, and Beit Hillel says you can pick up the shells, and yet when it comes to Yom Tov, in terms of dinim Beitza, since that's similar to the Korah that broke, so there the Mishnah says stam like Rabbi Yehuda, so obviously that's Beit Hillel, and Beit Hillel holds there. Now that problem is michte. I mean, it's not as if we have two different sets of mishnayot for you for when it comes to Yom Tov, when it comes to Shabbat. Man sat mi lematnitin. Who is the one who made both of these stam mishnas? Rebbe. Rebbe was the one who was besader mishnayot, and he was the one who, when he determined that halach would be one way or the other, he wrote it stam without attribution, so that nobody would know who said it and would take for granted that that's halach and assume that that was the normative approach. So Maishna b'Shabbat is Satamlan k'Rabbi Shimon. Why then, when Rabbi was writing the Mishnayot on Masechet Shabbat, did he bring the Shita of Rabbi Shimon as being the normative halacha that there was no problem of Muktzeh? And yet Maishna gabi Yom Tov the Satamlan k'Rabbi Yehuda. Why then, when it came to Yom Tov, to the sugya of the Korah, did he just say the Mishnah is Stam, and there it was expressing the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda that there is a din of Muktzeh? Answers the Gemara, because Shabbos, the Chamir of Elati, was a Zuleba. So Satan, like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi held that nobody is going to be mezalzel in the dinim of Shabbat because we pass in Lukula. Because Shabbat, after all, is very chomer to people. It's a chi of skila that's attached to it. People will not come to be mezalzel. So therefore, he was a tam like Rabbi Shimon to make. He passed like Rabbi Shimon that Muktzeh is Lukula. Whereas Yom Tov, the Kiel, Elati, was a Zuleba. On Yom Tov, where you're allowed to do malachas and tzarichu kol nefesh, and in general it's a lesser onesh. People take Yom Tov much less seriously. Over there, Rebbe held that we should pass him in a stam like Rebbe Yehuda, the machmer. Therefore, we said over here by Yom Tov, according to Beit Hillel, the Beit Hillel of the Yom Tov is aser. Okay, let's just go back and think this over again for a moment. So, b'mayu kim to how you're learning the Mishnah, b'tanagolat omedet l'kadel beit simu mishum muktzeh. So you've said that the only way to understand the Mishnah is that we're talking about a bird that was being used by you to lay eggs. It was not meant to be eaten on Yom Tov, Therefore, the egg that's born, which was originally part of this bird, was noilad basically today and set aside not to be used. So Yahachi had a machlokes beitza, liflagei betarnegolet. I understand. What is the point of having the machloket in the beitza? If you have a straightforward machloket over here as to whether there is or is not an isser mukzah, so why don't we tell me now that the argument is about the tarnegolet itself? Because basically it's the same issue. If the fact that I didn't intend at the onset of Yom Tov to eat this tarnegolet makes it muktzah, muktzah is asr on Yom Tov, so I can't eat the tarnegolet. If muktzah is mutra on Yom Tov, so I can eat the tarnegolet. Ah, the reason that we wanted to say the case of Beitzah is because l'odiecha kuchan de Beit Shammai, that even nolad is mutra. So in other words, nolad, which remember we thought before that even people who don't know the muktzah definitely do hold of nolad. So it's a much bigger chiddush to tell me that Beit Shammai, who was ready to be matir, is not only matir to tarnegolet, he's even matir to Beitzah. And he's coming to tell you that nolad itself is mutter, not only muktzah. So liflug betarnegolet odiecha kochan de Beit Hillel, that even muktzah is also. On the contrary, why not have the Mishnah tell us that since, I mean, after all, Beit Hillel is being machmer on muktzah, and here, the only case that you're bringing is a case of Neulad. Isn't it a better chiddush to tell me that according to Beit Hillel, even the Tarnagolot is also? V'chitem, and you'll try to answer to me. That's very true. But in general, we have Ruach Koach Be'atera Adiv. To tell me that someone answered something doesn't prove a thing, because any idiot can answer. The Koach Be'atera, which requires a person to know what he's talking about, is always a greater sign of Chokhman than the Koach Be'atera. So maybe the reason that the Tana chose to use the case of the Beitza is in order to make it clear that the Beit Shammai, who is being matir, is matir even Neilat. Okay, that I would normally say, but in this case, Niflug B'Tarvayu, Tarnagolet, what we could have said, is a machlokes that includes both things very easily. All we had to say was, Tarnagolet ha'omedet l'gadel Beitzim, hi u Beitzata. So if you have a chicken that you're using to lay eggs, both the chicken and any egg that was laid, according to Beit Shammai Teachel, according to Beit Hillel, lo Teachel. So what's the problem? Tosis points out that how can we never say this in other places? When we say Kerek the Terod, if we don't say, and why not make a case where it could be both Heter and Isser? So over here, Tosis says, maybe because it's so poshut, over here to just add the word he who beits atah rather than just saying beits shenolda, then it would have been much clearer also. We're talking about a tarnagolet or a medet l'gadel beitzin, so that it would have been better just to throw both of them in. I mean, l'maisa, you could say perhaps that since over here we're trying to bring out the sheet of Beit Hillel, because only Beit Shammai b'makom Beit Hillel in the Mishnah, so we've been kedai at least to bring out what the halacha is in terms of muktzah itself, not only in Neilat, in the dinim of Beit Hillel for Yont. But in any event, the Gemara remains with this question. Why not ask now, why not say in the Mishnah both the Tarnagolet, he, who beits atah, Beit Shammai omrim teachel, Beit Hillel omrim lo teachel. Therefore, we cannot support the approach of Reb Nachman in the Mishnah to say that the Machlokas in the Mishnah is based on whether there's an Isser Muktzah, and comes along Rabbah now to give us an alternative explanation of the Mishnah. Elo Amar Rabba, and Rabba gives us a very, very different explanation. And Rabba says like this, the Olam v'tarnagolet omedet l'achila. Indeed, we are talking about a tarnagolet that was meant to be eaten. So what's the problem? It's not even muktzah. Ah, problem is like this. We're talking about a Yom Tov, where the Yom Tov was chal achar Shabbat. So today is Sunday, and it's Yom Tov. Since over here, this Beitzah was actually completed and prepared now for laying on Shabbos. This is a new Isser. It's called the Isur Hachana. V'kasova Rabba kol Beitzah d'mityalda ha'idna mi'atmo gamrala. First of all, Rabba holds that it's a given that if the Beitzah was laid today, then the Beitzah must have been completed yesterday. So what's wrong with that? You'll say, oh, what's wrong with that is this, that Rabba l'taymeh, this is Rabba l'shitato, the Yom HaRabba, ma'itichtiv, v'hayav b'yom ha'shishi ve'echinu et asher yaviyu. What does it mean when it says that on Friday when the man was coming down, the Lechemishta was coming down in the Midbar, so it says over there, they shall prepare what it is that they are bringing. Now that cannot be referring to prepare in the sense of baking it or cooking it or do whatever you need, because in terms of that, it says Beferish, Eit Asher Ta'afu, Afu, whatever it is you want to bake, go ahead and bake, and so on. So that means that the Torah has already told me that I should prepare things with my own hands. What it's talking about over here is the preparation, an existential preparation, that this thing basically has to be set aside and defined now as roi for the Suda of Shabbos. And therefore, since the Suda of Shabbos is so choshev that it needs to be defined beforehand, so here, even though min hashamayim, this egg, so to speak, naturally, was taken care of on Shabbos, the problem is that it wasn't muchan on a day of chol. And the din is that Shabbos, and only Shabbos, is that rather chol, and only chol is making the Shabbos, because it's talking about a normal Yom HaShishi. And a chol could be making the Yom Tov. But Yom Tov is not making the Shabbos, and Shabbos is not making the Yom Tov. Since over here, by definition, the egg must have been completed the day before, therefore it remains something that wasn't now set aside properly for Suda Shabbos, because you cannot set aside a Suda Shabbos on Yom Tov. This is Rabba's, it's called Achona de Rabba. This is Rabba, obviously that means according to him that there's a concept of Muktzah which is Midiraisa, because over here it's saying if it isn't something that's set aside in Mukhan, that it's also, indeed, Rabba uses this as a raya, that there exists, now, minatera, a concept called mukta. Now, the question is, if that this is all true, so how is it possible for there to be such a thing as an Erev Tavshilin? We're certainly not going to come and be Eker Nisr D'Yoraisa with an Erev Tavshilin to be able to prepare a Siddur Shabbos on Yontif, which is the whole point of the Erev Tavshilin. And this is an amazing question, because I mean the base of Erev Tavshilin is that since the Isser is only an Isser Drabbanan, so if I go ahead now and do this Tikkun Drabbanan, so then it means that I'm basically making all of my Suda together. But the way that Rabba is learning, so how could Rabba hold that it's mutter to make an Erev Tavshilin? Stosis explains that Rabba's own Shita is that there's a concept called Ho'il. What's Ho'il? That since in certain circumstances, for instance, suppose a lot of guests would suddenly come, so I'd be able to cook all of this extra food now in Yom Tov and give it to these guests. So therefore, since it would be roi to do it there, so say that I can do it even now. So it comes along now the Erev Tavshilin to basically say that l'chatchila, I can go ahead and to do this. But the Beitzah was not here b'klal. And that there's no way to be martyred. So Enochinami, the Mishnah is saying Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov is Asur. So this now is our second explanation. Reb Nachman's explanation of the Mishnah was that we're talking about the problem of Muktzah Neila. Rava's explanation of the problem is that we're talking about the concept of Achana. And it's talking about a Yom Tov, which is Chal Achra Shabbos. Says Abai, Omele Abai Alamiyato Yom Tov Yama Tishtere. I understand. The Mishnah doesn't say a Yom Tov which is Chalach Shabbos. Mishnah says Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov. So why isn't the standard Yom Tov, a normal Yom Tov, Mutter? Ah, that's because Gzeira Mishum Yom Tov Achra Shabbos. With people will confuse the two things. So maybe we created in this or Neilad where on every Yom Tov, because there are times where a Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov would be usher in the event that Yom Tov was on a Sunday. Okay, so then Shabbat Yama Tishtere, and why is it that we have this Isser of Beitzah Shenolda on Shabbos as well? It should be mutter to eat a raw egg that just was laid today on Shabbos. No, well, it's because of a Gezerah, Mishum Shabbos Acher Yom Tov, the same Gezerah. If Shabbos was Chal Acher Yom Tov, so since Yom Tov isn't making the Shabbos, only Chol is making the Shabbos, so we would have Achana de Rabba there too. But we don't make such gezeras, says the Gemara. Migazrina. V'atanya shocheta tatanagolet. Umatzaba beitzim gmurot. Mutarot lo'ochlam b'yom tov. that if you shecht the tarnagolet on Yontif, and you find now that there are completed eggs inside, these were an amazing treat when I was a kid. We used to have these. We used to fight for them on the table. My father Zatzal would hand them out. It was unbelievable. So if you find the beitza, and it's ready to be laid. So over there it says it's mutter to eat them. But if you're telling me that there's a gzeira, why don't we make now an isser of a gzeira that if the egg had been laid, it would have been usser. So people will get confused. Yeah, that's because beitzim, right? Beitzim gemurot b'meiman miltad lo shrichai, umiltad lo shrichai, but gazur b'rabbanan. The rabbanan are in gezer on things that don't happen very often. Isn't that often that we would find such a thing? And so b'meiman the rabbanan didn't aser it. Now, Rashi is very bothered by what this has to do with the sugya. I mean, over this would be a gzera le gzera. If we're only asering on a normal Shabbos, a normal yontif, because of yontif shchal achra Shabbos, the Shabbos shchal achra yontif, we should make a further gzera of a beitza that's found inside because of a beitza that would be nolda on a Shabbos, and in that case, that Shabbos would come out after yontif, or a yontif would come out after Shabbos. That's a classic gzera le gzera. And we learn out from Vishamartem et Mishmarti, which is Asu Mishmaret Mishmarti, Velo Mishmaret Le Mishmaret. So why would we, how can the Gemara even ask a kasha like that? We don't need a teretz that it's a milta de lo shchicha, that it's not normal. We should simply have said that it's not, we're not a gezera because it's only a gezera le gezera. And Rashi explains that the case over here is that since it just uses the standard lashon over here of the din of the beitza b'fim, it's mashma that even if it would be a beitza that was on a yontav achra Shabbos, otherwise would have to say that it means dafka on a yontav that isn't achra Shabbos, because certainly we should make a gzera. In the same way we make a single gzera for a stam yontav because of yontav shchal achra Shabbos, we should make a gezera on a beitza that's found inside of a tanagolet on a yontav shechal achra Shabbos because of a case where it would have actually been nayla today. So therefore, since we don't make such a gezera, the Gemara has a kasha. If we don't make gezera, so why are we making this gezera? And the Gemara is answered, because we only make a gezera in a milta de shchicha, not in a milta de lo shchicha. A third approach to Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Amer, gezera mishum, it's exera because of perot hanoshrin, the same way that if you find fruit that fell off of a tree, we don't eat it. It's over there. The pri is awesome. We'll talk about this tomorrow. So too, the beitza shenolda is very similar to perot hanoshrin. So the same way the rabbanan asked fruit that fall off a tree, they asked an egg that falls off a tarnagolet.